don't fit. Have you noticed? Like clothes. And I don't mean that they're too tight or too loose. It's just like you're like, some things are just not suitable. So we have this neighbor who occasionally shows up in his front yard wearing nothing but a Speedo. You can't unsee that. It doesn't go. An older gentleman, and we're like wishing we had shades. Colton, ah! Let's go downstairs. Or jobs. Somebody's all excited and they're like, hey, I got this job. Really, what is it? And they tell you, and you're like, ugh. I did phone sales for one day. It was not suitable for me. It was, you know, they're trying to tell you the hard sell. You know, you get people on the line, you make them stay on the line for 6 minutes, and then you'll get the sale. Man, as soon as they're like, I'm not interested, I'm like, oh, okay, have a blessed day, goodbye. This is 100% commission. I spent the whole day making zero. It was not suitable for me. People. I mean, right? Sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, I'm dating this person, and you're going, oh. Right? But when things are suitable, isn't there just something amazing about that? Kathleen and Kendrick are our grandchildren. I know there are people who will not get that. I know. I get that. They're not biologically our grandchildren. You probably could tell. But they are suitable for my heart.
Amen.
And right now, we are suitable for their heart. We pray that lasts for all time. I am their papa. It's suitable. And there is just something amazing when that happens. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we're blessed. Lord, beyond what we could ever even put into words, we're blessed, Lord. Thank you. Pray, Lord, that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. May you be praised, Almighty God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be studying from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 through 28. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 through 28. He's wrapping up the idea that Jesus is the better priest. He's been using the term priest because Psalm 110, verse 4 says, the Lord has sworn, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But now he's going to open that up. He's not just any priest.
I don't have one.
He's the high priest. Verse 26. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. Because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. So the first part of this literally is, this high priest, such a one, is suitable for us. I mean, just let that simmer for a moment. Jesus Christ, this high priest that we're talking about, he is suitable for us. Now, the other high priest, and maybe we should translate that more suitable, because it's not like the Hebrew author is saying that they were horrible. Some were. But the high priest of the Old Testament was ordained by God. So he's not saying it was a horrible system. He is saying that it was a type. It was a shadow. It was always intended to lead us to understand that we needed the high priest that was more suitable for us. It kind of reminds me of the creation story, right? In chapter 2, God says we need to make man a helper that is suitable, corresponding to. And then God parades the animals in front of Adam. All kinds of reasons why that is. Most people will say, oh, he's trying to show Adam that you're superior to the animals. Okay, maybe, but remember it starts with, let's find a helper suitable corresponding to him. What God is doing is saying, look at all these animals. They are not suitable. They are not corresponding to you. So when he makes women, he knows. This is what's suitable. We live in a time where more people need to understand that. Dogs, pets, nice, friendly, if you're into that kind of thing, you can have them. You're welcome. But they're not suitable. They are not corresponding to us. So that the old high priest system is not as suitable as Jesus Christ. He is holy. The word means devout, pleasing to God. You see, in order for the high priest of the Old Testament to be pleasing to God, they had to go through the ceremonial cleansing thing. Jesus does not. He's going to make that point in verse 27, but for now he's just pleasing to God. And there's an emphasis with that word that he is obedient. That's what makes him pleasing to God. He's obedient. And you see that emphasis in the Gospels, right? I mean, especially in the Gospel of John, where over and over again, Jesus is saying, I can do nothing except from through the Father. He is the obedient, pleasing to God high priest. That's what makes him suitable. None of the other high priests could be completely pleasing to God. That's why they had to offer up sacrifices. And not just on the Day of Atonement. I mean, in Leviticus 4, Wednesday night, we're studying Leviticus. It's a really good study. You should come. And not, I'm not just saying that because the teacher is doing an excellent job. The priests, the high priests are told to offer a sacrifice. If they offer a sacrifice, if they commit a sin that they're not aware of or that is unintentional, they can't live their whole life pleasing to God. Only one could, that is Jesus Christ. So he's holy. He's innocent. Literally, it means without evil. Right? And that doesn't describe anybody else except for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Other priests, that's why they had to offer these sacrifices, because they had evil. No matter how much they tried, no matter what they did, they have evil. Okay, so it's kind of like the Native American story of the grandfather talking to his grandson, and he says, every one of us has a good wolf and a bad wolf. And the grandson says, well, how do we make sure the good wolf wins? And the grandfather says, it's all about who you feed. Amen? It's all about, isn't that a great, I mean, wow. But there's an acknowledgement there. Every one of us has evil inside of us. Can we admit that? I mean, no matter how much you're trying, no matter what you do, I mean, sometimes I'm amazed. We've already dealt with the passage where it says Jesus is not ashamed of us. I struggle there because why wouldn't he be ashamed of me? I see the evil in me. Make sure you're sitting by the right person. The one who is suitable for you.
Apparently I'm not.
Sorry, I am sorry. I should have just kept my mouth shut at that moment and just gone on. Amen, right? Amen. Jesus is the only one who's lived this life without any evil. That's what makes him suitable. He's undefiled. Religiously clean. So before the high priest could enter into the presence of God, he had to make a sacrifice. And that's going to be his next point. But before that, he says, okay, Jesus is religiously clean in a way that the high priest of old could never attain to. He's separated from sinners. A couple of ways that could be translated. The word sinners can be an adjective. So it can mean he's separated from sinfulness. Some of my translations translate it, he is not affected by sin. Okay, well, that makes good sense. We know that's true. But he's basically already said that, with holy and without evil. I think this phrase and the next one phrase are steps. He was separated. We're talking about the resurrection. We're talking about he lived his life in the flesh, experiencing our weaknesses without sin, and he was holy and innocent and undefiled. And then he was separated out from sinners so that he could become higher than the highest heavens. That was a Jewish phrase that meant in the presence of God. So, the high priest. One of the things that he had to do before he went into the Holy of Holies once a year was there was this basin, and the one that was in the temple was huge, of water. He had to cleanse himself with that water. And in 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel, I think it's 1 Samuel, I'm not sure. Numbers don't stick in my head. It's called a sea. And you might even call it a sea of separation. Because in that moment, he has to cleanse himself to separate himself from the people whom he is going to represent and then in turn cleanse them. I believe we're seeing the same process with Jesus, our Lord. He was resurrected. He was taken from this flesh, this world of sinfulness, so that he could become higher than the highest heavens in the very presence of our God. He doesn't need. Literally it says he has no need according to today. That phrase again, daily. It's a daily. He doesn't have a daily need. So the high priest under the Levitical system, and the words that he uses describes the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, once a year, he had to offer a bull for his own sins, and then he would offer a goat for the sins of the people. Okay, Jesus doesn't have that need. He doesn't have the need to, in order to go to the presence of God, to cleanse himself. Because he's holy. Because he's without evil. Because he's undefiled. One of the things that's interesting here is that the Hebrew author says daily. That's caused some discussion because the Day of Atonement was annually. And there's words for that. He could have easily said annually. So one source said, okay, Philo uses the same thing about the high priest saying daily. And they're saying, okay, by the time of Philo, the high priest was more involved in the daily sacrifices. Maybe, but I don't think that's Philo's point, and I don't think this is the Hebrew author's point. I think what he's saying is the high priest is the representative of the whole priesthood system. So daily, if you had to offer a sacrifice for any reason, they are there daily. And there is daily sacrifices, twice a day. Daily they're involved in offering sacrifices. They had to offer sacrifices for themselves on more occasions than just annually, because if they sinned unintentionally, they had to offer up sacrifices. Jesus, as the high priest, represents the whole priesthood system. But the difference is, he gave himself. He offered himself once for all, the perfect sacrifice. And isn't that good news?
Amen.
That's right.
Because I don't have to daily go to this temple and off. I mean, you can't right now anyway. But I'm not commanded to offer. I'd be killing so many animals. But we don't, because we have the perfect sacrifice, who is also the perfect high priest, who has made that sacrifice for us once for all. And that's good news.
Amen.
Verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. So he's going to make this contrast between the law and the word of oath. The law appoints or establishes or sets from among men, and I think we're intended to see mankind, and I think we're intended to see weakness. So from among men, those who are weak, emphasizing the high priests were weak. Again, the word weak means without power, without strength. It is often referred to illness. So sometimes when you're hit with an illness, you just, all of your energy is sapped from you. Zapped. They are weak. They had limitations due to the fact that they were also sinners. And yet, God appointed them to be high priests. But the word of the oath, Psalm 110, verse 4, the Lord has sworn. Sworn, I can't speak today. And you guys are going, what, today? The Lord has sworn. He will not change His mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That oath came after the law. And He appoints a son. So the first part of Hebrews is dealing with the fact that the son is better. In times past, God spoke through the prophets, but in the last days, in the days that we now live in, He speaks through the Son, and that's better. He's better than the angels. Angels are impressive spiritual beings, but they're servants, and the Son is better. He's better than Moses, who was a faithful servant, but Jesus is the Son. He's better. He's better than the high priest because they're taken from among men and He is the Son of God.
Praise God.
He's better. So, He was made perfect forever. He became complete. That's caused some discussion. Because how can you say that Jesus, the Word, became complete? Was He not before the incarnation? Let's keep it in His context. We're talking about being a high priest. Before the incarnation, He was not a complete high priest because He did not know what it was like to live in the flesh. And how can He intercede for those who are in the flesh if He's never been in the flesh?
Sure.
So having come, experienced our life, identifying with us and living our weakness, refusing to push the God button, when He was hungry and tired and worn out. Before the cross, He could have called 60,000 angels and He refused. I don't think He ever would, but that's really not the point. He could have. And He decided He would experience the ultimate weakness that we experience, and that's death. The loss of life. And He did that. And in that, He became complete as our high priest. So He's suitable to us. And isn't that important in our world? Because people are turning to all kinds of things that they think are suitable. They look in the mirror and they go, oh my goodness, I look good in Speedos. And Satan's right there going, yes you do. Yes you do. You try on this. This will look good on you. You could fill in the blank. It's all kinds of things, right? I mean, some people try drugs because they're trying to escape whatever trauma they're trying to get away from. And Satan says, here, try this. It'll look good on you. It'll deal with that trauma. But it cannot deal with the trauma. Nothing else fits. Nothing else is suitable than Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen?
That's right.
And we are surrounded by people who are putting on all kinds of clothes and all kinds of things that are not suitable. Cannot be suitable. I was talking to a young man a couple of weeks ago. And he was telling me that Jesus was defeated at the cross. I said, oh no. That was the plan of God all along, and that was a victory. Do you know why he wants to believe it's a defeat? Because he doesn't want to look at his clothes and see how shabby they are. He doesn't want to see how bad he looks in those Speedos he's put on. He wants to think that he looks good. He told me once that he should never be let out of prison because he's going to continue to harm and hurt and maim. Those are the clothes he chose to wear. They're not suitable. They're not suitable for anyone. And my prayer, my job, is I want him to know Jesus Christ. I want him to try on my Lord. I want him to see that Jesus fits.
Right.
We want to cry out with the psalmist of Psalm 34, and we want to say, oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good, if you would just taste. I know there's people out there that they discover a smattering of God's Word that they think is difficult, and they pull it right out of context, and they say, see, God is horrible. And our job in that moment is say, taste. I mean, truly taste. Try on God. You got to chew on that for a little bit. You can't just stick it to your tongue and say, oh, I know what God tastes like. You got to chew on it. There are things in the Scripture that are hard. They're difficult. But I am convinced that when we chew on those difficult parts of the Word of God, when we truly experience, when we truly put on our Lord and Savior, and we wear Him, and He is suitable, that those passages begin to make our faith grow, and our understanding to grow. We want people to taste and see that God is good. Because they're trying so many different things. And it's leaving them hollow. It's leaving them with nothing really. They're like the old story, right? With the king that the con men convinced that he had invisible clothes. And they told him they were royal, better than anything he's ever worn. And he paraded himself in his kingdom, completely naked. And don't we know people who are doing that? I know I've told you this before, but my friend Gary died in a crack house in Denver, Colorado. Satan convinced him as a child that it would fit if he turned to alcohol to deal with his trauma.
Open.
And he wrestled, and he tried on his whole life. We all have stories, right? People have tried on things. And instead of blessing them, instead of looking good, it just doesn't fit. Satan's going to try to dress it up. He's going to say, you can be smarter than God. That's one that a lot of us are falling for in this culture, isn't it? You decide for your own self. You just be you. When I was in Washington, I was driving my sister crazy. That may have been why I was doing it. But every time somebody would say something or do say, I'm going to do this, and I'm like, okay, you just do you. And she said, well, can you imagine my baby sister getting mad at me like that? Stop it. I'm like, I know. But isn't that the message? You're smart enough. You can just do you. It's okay. And Satan's on over there going, yeah, that looks good on you. If it's not Jesus Christ, it doesn't fit.
Amen.
It cannot fit. So I encourage you. None of us are perfect at this. Even when we are wearing the clothes of Jesus, don't we maybe put on a sock that doesn't quite fit? You know what I'm saying, right? We turn to our old ways to deal with our trauma. By the way, most, if not all, addictions are a result of trauma. We need to understand that before we get all judgmental. But we know, because we're wearing our Lord and Savior. And here's what I can tell you with 100% surety in my life. It is the moments where I am walking in step with Jesus Christ that my life fits. It's the moments where I take a step here or a step there that's out of line, and I'm trying to find, you know, trying to put on that little sock or whatever, or thinking that that's going to look fine, it's going to be okay. Those are the moments that my life doesn't work and my life doesn't fit, and those are the moments that haunt me at night. Jesus Christ fits. So wear Him. And if you are struggling with something in your life,
Okay.
I just need you to know you're not alone. Because we, every one of us, have struggles in our life. This is not the gathering of the perfect. This is the gathering of the forgiven.
Amen.
We are perfect only in the sense that we are made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mama.
We are all here in need of that blood. If you're struggling with something, don't be afraid to let us know. If you want to know more about our God, we encourage you to taste and see that Yahweh is good. We encourage you to try on Jesus, because He's the only thing that fits. And when I say try on Jesus, I'm not talking about skimming through the Word of God to find something you don't like. Too many people do that. I'm talking about reading the Gospel and doing your best to live it. I encourage you to try to do that. And I'm convinced that you will find out that that fits. Whatever you need, we encourage you. We would love to pray with you. We would love to speak with you. You don't have to come forward as we stand, but you're welcome to. We invite you to. Whatever you need, please come as God, we stand. Thank you.